Jesus, refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love, fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above. Often have your eyes offended, gazed upon the sinner's fall, yet upon the cross extended, you have borne the pain of all. Do we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow? Though we see you wounded, bleeding, see your thorn encircled brow, yet your sinless death has brought us life eternal, peace and rest. Only what your grace has taught us calms the sinner's deep distress. Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for you.
Congregation is invited to stand. We speak the opening versicles. This is a day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. As we will reflect in the message, we'll think about the term and the word redeemer and redeemed as the part of the explanation of the second article, the creed that we're covering this evening. These three readings that we have, these three scripture readings that we have this evening, all are important passages for understanding redeemed or redeemer, and so that's how they're picked out for tonight. And the congregation is invited, the lines and the readings that are underlined and in bold, you're invited to read along with me. You don't have to, but you're invited to do that. Our first reading is from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 through 28. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land.
If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold.
If a man has no one to redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, let him calculate the years since he sold it and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it. and then return to his property. But if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
For the catechism reading, the congregation may be seated. Together we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and that is in the inside back cover of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And also this evening, we speak the explanation of the second article of the Creed. It's written there in the bulletin. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This phrase that we're thinking about tonight, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me. If you notice, there's three verbs in there. Redeemed, purchased, won. And for our thoughts and reflections tonight, we're just going to think about redeemed, just that one verb this evening. First of all, notice all three verbs, redeemed and purchased and won, they're all past tense. He has redeemed me. He has purchased me. He has won me. It's done. It's completed. Our confession about Jesus Christ, what it means to be our Lord, is that it's done. He has done everything that's necessary. The redeeming is done. I don't have to add to it. He isn't still deciding whether to redeem me or not. It's done. It's completed. And that's the first thing we say. He's my Lord. He has redeemed me. And also, I'll give you the figures if you're looking at the notes in a moment. Redeemed is an Old Testament word. It almost never shows up in the New Testament. And so these passages that we read, there's many passages in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament concept. It comes in, God sets up the system of how his people are going to live together, especially in the one reading, the land. But it has this meaning of to buy back. But this meaning is from the Old Testament. And then we find out that the great Redeemer is then Jesus Christ. But it's rooted in the life and in the living of the Old Testament people. As I have down there in the ESV translation, which we usually use in church, English Standard Version, in that translation, in the Old Testament, redeem is used 37 times, and in the New Testament it's used 3 times. The word redeemed, the past tense verb, in the Old Testament is used 48 times. In the New Testament, it's used 4 times. And redeemer, the noun, is used 29 times in the Old Testament, 1 time in the New Testament. And the 1 time isn't even referring to Jesus, but to Moses, actually, in Stephen's speech in Acts. So we see, just from the numbers, this is an Old Testament word. It comes from the Hebrew, it comes from the life of the people. And it has this idea of buying back, to buy back. And it can also be deliver or purchase, ransom. And the thing about redeem, and it comes out very strongly in the Leviticus reading and other parts of Leviticus as well, it's family, kinsmen, buy back. That was a family responsibility to buy back. In the Leviticus reading, you notice there that if the person then, if he has to sell his land, then the family related and in the immediate family is responsible to, at some point, buy back that land and give it back to the original owner. So a brother might buy back the land and give that land back to the brother. Or if the person had to sell the land because he had to raise some money, and then he couldn't, then he got some more money later on, he earned more money, he could buy it back himself. Or what would happen then if nobody bought the land back? God wanted the family to keep the land. And so what they did is every 50 years, God commanded a year of jubilee. And every 50 years, all the land went back to the original owners. And so, and if you're wondering about what if you bought the land and you only had it for 5 years and the 50 years, well, if you read earlier in Leviticus, it considers that. It says how many years you bought it till the year of jubilee. So you would buy back the land according to how many years it was used. And God was protecting his people, wanted stability in his people, but the idea of redeemer, redeem, that comes back from family buying back that land that was lost, that was sold, and given back. It means to bring back to the owner, bring back to the original owner. Yes, and I hope your wheels are turning a little bit. Oh, God bought us back. He owns us. Our Redeemer buys us back. And you see this whole concept is right in the land in the beginning of the people of Israel, to buy back. To me, when I studied it, I made a mistake just in the notes there. It's God said in Leviticus 25, 23, chapter 25, not 20. This caught me because God explained this buying back and this redeeming commands that he gives to the people, how they're set up to be his people. He said, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. It's not supposed to be sold forever. You can sell it for a while. For the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. It's interesting. This reminds me exactly how the whole country of Ghana is set up. And maybe other African countries too, I'm not sure. But I know for Ghana, I know the laws there. The land in Ghana does not belong to the people, it belongs to the chief. And you lease the land from the chief, and you can get a 99-year lease or like this. And you can imagine that there can be all kinds of controversies, all kinds of hey, chief, you know, maybe give the land to me, and that's the way things go there. But the land belongs to the chief. And now that I think about it, the name of God in the Kinkomba language is the land owner, the one who owns the land. Utendan Uambor, yeah. The head landowner. And God wanted them to see, so you can sell the land, but it's really for the family. So if you sell it out of the family, I want it to come back because, in effect, I own the land. You are but sojourners. You are but strangers. You are travelers. And that's a word that we use more often, traveler. And then it caught me. You are a traveler. You're strangers and travelers, sojourners, with me. So as God's people in the Old Testament, when they received this, they were in the wilderness. But as later on, they would get assigned different portions of the land in Canaan, God said, even though you're settled and you have land and you're farming, you're still a stranger and sojourner, but I'm with you. And I want you to keep your land. I want to care for you. So if you have to sell the land, it's going to come back to you. But it's not yours. I'm really the one who owns the land. And so that whole word of redeemer comes back. If you have to sell the land, then it will be redeemed back to you. And if your family doesn't redeem it back for you, then in 50 years, I will, because it's a year of Jubilee and everybody gets their land back. When we think about Job's statement, we understand and realize that Job, all commentators see that Job is a very ancient text. And most would see Job living at the time of Abraham, even 500 years before this Leviticus text. So we see that in ancient times, God's people saw that life in this body now is not the end, that there is a life that goes on, that there is a resurrection of the body. And we remember just basic story of Job, that Job was this great follower of God, and he was very wealthy and had a big family. But Satan came to God and said, Job's only following you because you've given him many riches and wealth. And God said, no, you can test Job and see. Only don't kill him. And in fact, he lost all his property. His wife turned against him. His children were all killed in a storm. And he lost all his property, and his friends tried to console him. That's what much of Job is about, is talking about why is he suffering like this. But in chapter 19, in a response to his friends, Job makes this confession. And he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, the one who buys me back. So Job is saying, despite my illnesses, and he was very ill and he had skin disease and everything going on, despite my illnesses, despite my family, my children being all gone, despite my wife not being nice to me, despite my friends saying I've done something wrong, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he says, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. What does that mean? At the last, my Redeemer is going to prevail. He is going to stand and he's going to prevail. Nothing can knock my Redeemer down. If you think about that, when we sing, I know that my Redeemer lives, that's a very important thing to say along with Job, because it's saying the one who's going to buy me back cannot be beat. He lives. He will stand. I'm weak. I'm falling, but he will stand. And Job has this great confidence that his Redeemer, his God, is going to raise him up, and he is going to see God with his own body, with his own eyes. Even death cannot defeat his Redeemer, for his Redeemer is going to raise him up. This is a man and a believer from the time of Abraham. In Luke 24, as we notice, the word Redeemer rarely appears in the New Testament. But it appears on Easter morning as Jesus is talking to, or maybe it's afternoon. In Easter afternoon, Jesus appears to these two disciples, and they're walking, and he hides his identity to them. And what did they say about Jesus? Did you catch that? Is a part in what you read. What did they say? They said, haven't you heard anything about everything that's happened in Jerusalem? This Jesus of Nazareth and he was a prophet and everybody recognized. But our leaders and the government killed him. And they say in verse 21 of Luke 24, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They are using that word that goes back to the one who buys back. The word that Job used, I know that my Redeemer lives. They're using the word of the family member who buys back that land that was lost and brings it back. We're hoping that he was the one that would buy back Israel for God. But he's dead now. What do we do? And what did Jesus say? Didn't I tell you? The Christ, the chosen one, the one anointed one, the Christ, that Redeemer, must suffer and die and rise again. He must go through all these things. That's how he buys you back. Your Redeemer is alive. And to have the angels announce to the women is a wonderful thing, because heaven is sending a message, the Father is sending a message to the women and to the disciples, the Redeemer, the Christ, is alive. And Job's words come true. I know that my Redeemer lives. When we think of this term, this name for Jesus that we use so often, I went to Our Redeemer Lutheran Grade School in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And there's Redeemer Lutheran churches in many places. This is saying and making the confession and statement that Jesus, my Lord, has bought me back, as he will hear in the next service, from sin, death, and the power of the devil. But he's bought me back, and he's the one I look to, and he is alive. And, as is very important in the Old Testament, he is my family, my kin, who has saved me. My Father has sent his Son so that I might be back in the family. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son to be our Redeemer, to buy us back from sin and death and all evil. We ask you to always give us confidence of this, joy in this, and we ask you also that this message may be known far and wide. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn 554.
King most wonderful, O conqueror renowned, O source of peace ineffable, in whom all joys are found. When once you visit darkened hearts, then the truth begins to shine. Then earthly vanity departs, then kindles love divine. O Jesus, light of all below, the fount of life and fire, surpassing all the joys we know, all that we
congregation is invited to stand for prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night.
For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We pray together the collect of the week. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, 887.
Now the light has gone away. Father, listen while I pray, asking thee to watch and keep, and to send me quiet sleep. Jesus, Savior, wash away
more like thee. Let my